Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Hannah Schiller gave her stage debut at the age of 9 as a member of the children's and youth choir of the Theater Bonn, with whom she appeared on stage in numerous opera productions and concerts. In 2013, she gave her TV film debut. After acting in several productions, Hannah received much acclaim for her performance in 2019's Dresden Tatort, Parasomnia. For that particular performance, Hannah was awarded the Jupiter Award in the Best Lead Actress category, as well as the German Acting Award in the Young Talent category. Her series, Die nettesten Menschen der Welt, is out now on ZDF. Next year, Hannah can be seen in Plan B on ZDF and The Grim Reality on Netflix. We talked to her via Zoom for this interview. Hi, Hannah. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today. Our third podcast season focuses on the genre horror. And the anthology series, Die nettesten Menschen der Welt, which deals with horror and of which you are an important part of, was recently released. So we really appreciate you sitting down with us and give us some insight about your creative process.
Thank you.
To start, I'd like to ask you a couple of general genre questions and then get more specific about the series and your role as Lil. Given what a, well, kind of notorious tricky genre to produce or to make horror is in Germany, did you have any reservations at all about the genre?
I mean, horror films are often seen as like intrinsically trash in the sense of being like just red table or offensively taboo breaking and the lowest end of pop culture. But so let's say I take a really close look at the script if I'm asked to play something horror related. But in general, it's quite exciting for me as an actress and I really enjoy this genre. So
okay. Which leads us to the next question, because you're also part of a new series, which I know you can't really talk about. And I think currently it's called The Grim Reality. So are you, well, horror fan is maybe a bit too strong of a word, but is there a particular subgenre of the horror genre that you maybe like or something that you say, oh, I wouldn't watch that if my life depended on it?
As a viewer, I'm not really drawn towards horror. Although I've seen some that I really liked, for instance, Sixth Sense, but I get scared quite easily and I don't really like the feeling, like the insecurity afterwards. And
I can relate.
I don't really like that. But as an actress, I think I'm definitely a fan. I just like finding authenticity in those scenes that often are quite far away from my real life experiences. And I also like having the audience sitting on the edge of their seat, just waiting to jump for the next scare. And I think sometimes you see people like holding hands or like shouting together. And I feel like it's a bonding experience for them. And I like being part of that or even causing it.
Yeah, I actually had that happen to me once, which was weird because it wasn't actually even a horror film. It was one of the The Girl in the Spider's Web. But it was one of the original Swedish versions. And I was sitting in Copenhagen in a film and suddenly the guy next to me grabs my knee. I'm like, okay, this is getting a little bit too much.
Maybe a bit too close.
Yeah. Let's do a deep dive into Die nettesten Menschen der Welt. I always think it's interesting to get to the essence of a project if you try to describe it in maybe one word or maybe two, three words. How would you describe the series?
Creative. Amazing, definitely. And exciting.
And when did the script and the part of Lil first come to you? And what was your initial reaction when you read it?
I got interested in the project when I first read the script in January 2021 and I got offered the role of Lil. And one aspect of the script that I immediately liked was the fact that it took me quite a while to understand what was going on. And I enjoy it when filmmakers assume their audience is really paying attention and watching closely to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
I just like that. And I like that it's quite surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a great mix too, between, you know, like you said, you don't know what's going on for a long time. Is it a thriller? Is it a horror? Is it maybe just a regular drama?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. there's some really unexpected twists as well. How involved were you in fleshing out the role of Lil?
So I didn't really change anything about the script or mm-hmm. the roles, because most of it was already written when I got involved in the project.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, with my acting and my drawings, I sort of brought the character to life. And I even helped to create the look of the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. And Lil is an unusual heroine because she's highly allergic and she can't go outside. But as we obviously learned, she's far from helpless. And as you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of ambiguity. You don't know for sure at some point, is she even allergic or is that just something that is sort of told to her? How hard is it to play this sort of double meaning? Because obviously there's also certain scenes that were shot in from different points of view.
Well, I didn't really feel like it was hard because to me, those different sides were part of Lil.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that anyone who has a chronic disease or illness and can't really live the life they desire, I think they imagine themselves to be healthy and doing the stuff that they want to do and just being free, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was just playing out Lil's imagination or her wishes, and it felt like it was part of her. So it didn't really feel like a separate, it didn't really feel separate from Lil. It felt like a part of her.
Okay. And as you mentioned, you were involved in the look of the series because Lil is a talented artist, as are you, and she draws mangas. Can you tell us a bit about your art and how the drawing process for the manga drawings was happening?
I've been drawing for as long as I can remember, and I made drawings for other projects as well. For mm-hmm. instance, in 2019, I was in a Tatort.
Yes.
And I made drawings for that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, my art is a very intimate way of expressing my thoughts and feelings. And I'm very grateful that I have this ability, because I never really did anything to improve it or learn it. I just mm-hmm. started creating and never really stopped. And for this project in particular, it was actually quite spontaneous, because when I got the role, I told Alexander that I could make the drawings,
mm-hmm.
but they already had someone else make them. I didn't really mention it again because I didn't want to be intrusive or pushy. And then I was even excited to see the drawings this other girl made.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few days before we needed the first drawings, they brought them to set and they showed them to me and to Alexander. And I was quite surprised because they were nice and mm-hmm. they looked cute, but they didn't really match the style of
mm-hmm.
the series and they didn't really fit the character. So I was surprised, I'd say. Yeah. And then Alexander asked me if I could still make some drawings for the next day.
Short notice.
And then I had to make the first three drawings for the next day, and which I did.
Uh-huh.
That's how I started. And then while we were shooting, I think I made like 10 to 15 drawings,
uh-huh.
and then the rest of them afterwards.
They look great. And I was wondering, because the color palette of the series is very reduced. It's almost like they're, you know, it's very flat at times. And one critic called it BID gray, whatever that means, as opposed to what he calls BID noir. Was that a decision that sort of the director made and then said, oh, this is, you know, what we imagine? Or did you guys discuss that when you sort of got the question that you should do the drawings after all?
So we did talk about what my vision of the drawings would be, because obviously it was different to what we had. Mm-hmm. So I just told him that I had something darker in mind.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I usually draw like realistic portraits mm-hmm. with white and pencil. So that's what I brought with me to set because we weren't filming in Berlin where I live. We were filming in Lüneburg. Yeah. So I didn't bring all my art supplies. So actually the only things I brought with me were pencil and graphite. So I didn't really have that many options to plan anything out or try different things. But it also fit what we had in mind. Mm-hmm. Because I think that the contrast, like the with white and black, it sort of matches the question of good and evil that we always ask ourselves when watching this series.
With film or series, there's always a lot of stuff that is being filmed and then ends up on the editing floor. Were there any particular scenes in this series, maybe for Lil, but maybe for other characters as well, that were shot that you were sorry because they were cut because you thought they might have made a good addition? Or
not really. They didn't cut any of my scenes, and I think they didn't really cut any of. I'm not sure, but I think they didn't really cut any of the other scenes as well. They didn't use two of my drawings. They wanted to use them for the key visual, which they didn't do in the end because they decided to do something else. Mm-hmm. But no, not really. I think they used most of the stuff we shot.
Okay. And as mentioned earlier, Lil can be seen either as very ill due to her allergies or as someone who is intentionally being kept ill. How do you see her, or what is your interpretation? I'm very interested. What do you think about this?
Okay, so what I think is that she's definitely ill, but her stepmom, she kind of feels overseen by Lil's dad, and she's sort of jealous of the interest he takes in his daughter. Mm-hmm. And also, Lil is quite unfriendly towards her. So, yeah, sometimes she does things like opening the window to worsen her condition, but only for a period of time. I don't think that she's like an evil stepmom. She's just unable to really deal with her feelings. And then since Lil is very lonely and isolated, she starts making up those stories. And so I think her drawings, they come from a really lonely and dark place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and since she doesn't know many people, she just looks out of the window and imagines stories around the people she sees.
Horror movies and series can be a great tool for sharing political or other very important messages that the society deals with the audience. And the horror in die nettesten Menschen der Welt is sometimes very mundane, but it obviously shines a very critical light onto our society and how it is quite good at suppressing or ignoring the terrible things. Do you feel that that is a timely critique? Would you maybe say the series could have gone even further in certain aspects?
I think that you don't necessarily have to go further to get people to think about certain things. Mm-hmm. And I think showing those sort of dystopian situations that might occur, even though some of them are unrealistic, but still it gets people to think about it. And I think shining light on certain aspects of our society that might not be just be positive, I think always timeless.
And now I have a few questions about you, because you've been working for quite a long time as an actress. If I read correctly, you started out when you were 9 years old as part of a choir. How has your perception of the job, or maybe rather of performing, changed over that time? Has it changed even?
It definitely has changed. Well, my performance has changed, of course, since the roles that I'm playing are getting more mature and just different. But I think also the way that I see myself in the industry has changed.
Yeah.
Because I'm starting to realize, and that took me quite a while, that I have a voice. I'm not just there to fulfill someone else's vision. I can also create and tell them what I think about the stuff and not just be there and do what they say. It's starting to get more and more collaborative.
Mm-hmm. And over the course of your career, you've also covered a lot of genres. You mentioned the Tatort earlier. So crime, you've done comedy, drama, horror. And is there a particular genre that you haven't been part of yet that you would like to be in?
I'd love to do period pieces. Mm-hmm. I once did a film that was set in the DDR, but I think, but I'd like to do more of that. And I like to explore different times. Yeah, that's what I love to do.
You're a talented singer and artist, painter, actress. Would you say that your different artistic strengths feed each other, or do you like to keep them separate? Is that even possible? It might be a stupid question.
I don't think it's possible, actually. And they definitely do feed each other. Yeah. I mean, they're definitely not separated. Often I do many of them at once. Like when I draw, I sing. And when I act, I draw.
Okay. Oh, that's great. And finally, can you tell us what you're currently working on or what your next project is going to be that you can talk about?
So I just finished filming Plan B, which is based on a Canadian series. Mm-hmm. And it's about suicide and depression. And
a heavy topic.
I learned a lot when I shot it, and it was very challenging, but I loved it. And I loved my scene partners. Like my mom on screen was Katja Riemann, and she's quite amazing.
Yeah.
It was really fun to act with her. I think I just learned a lot when I shot that.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea when that will be coming out? Is there maybe
I think it's planned
some sort of date?
For next year. Mm-hmm. I think it's been planned for the first half of the year.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I guess they're going to change it over and over again. So I don't really know.
Okay. But, well, we'll keep an eye open. And that was it. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today, Hannah. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.